The pastor wanted to give you an update on our ministry since some of you are new, since we've been here before. The church does not support our ministry monthly, but you have been very helpful in many projects over the last few years and given generously to our mission work. And so I thank you for that. And I ask you to continue praying for our work. Pick up one of our prayer cards on the back. And then if you want to keep up with our work, we have a new website that tells all about our ministry, what we do, where we do it. It just doesn't have me on it. And so you're welcome to go to the website. It's BibleTeam.org. And I encourage you to do that. Now, I do know, in case I don't want anyone to get nervous as I tell about our work, I do know we're live streaming, okay? And they've already asked about that. That was very kind of them. Do we need to cut the live stream? And I said no, because I'm not going to tell you anything that the Chinese government does not already know. Unfortunately, they know a lot, okay? So I'm not going to say anything that they're not already aware of. I just won't use any specific places or names. But I'll say a little bit about that in a moment. You'll understand. But for the last 18 years, we've been involved in getting scriptures primarily into mainland China. That door has closed. I mean, I can't get into China right now. Foreigners are not allowed in. Even through all of COVID, many cities are still in lockdown in China. They still have some problem areas, and then I think some of the areas it's just a made-up problem, but that's just me. But you can't get in as a foreigner. The only way a foreigner could get into China recently was it February when they had the Winter Olympics? Remember seeing that? And so, of course, foreigners could go in. I tried out. I just didn't make it. I think I realized I think I'm more of a summer athlete than a winter athlete. Maybe that was what the holdup was. But foreigners are not allowed in. And I tell people God's in control of that, not me. Right? And so we had to make some decisions of what to do and how to operate. Just because we couldn't get into China, that didn't mean we quit. Right? And so we've been actively involved in other ministries with Chinese here in the States primarily. We started a Chinese restaurant ministry. We target cities within the U.S., and we'll find as many Chinese restaurants in the area. I'll go into a local church, and we put packets together with John and Romans and gospel tracts and other literature, and then we encourage the members of the church that they have a favorite Chinese restaurant that they can take it with them, share the gospel, or we'll do mail outs and try to hit those areas. And we've done most of South Carolina, large parts of North Carolina, the Charlotte area, Rock Hill. I think we've already hit most of this area already last year. And we've done cities outside of Baltimore, Maryland. We've done Florida, a number of cities there. And then one of my friends that is pastoring in outside of São Paulo, Brazil, he called me. He gets our prayer letter, and he said, "I see where you're doing Chinese outreach through restaurants." I said, "Yeah." He said, "We have Chinese everywhere here in Brazil where I'm at." I said, "You're kidding me." He goes, "No, let's do some research." So we did. We found 130 Chinese restaurants between two cities that he works in, 130. So in November of last year, we took a couple of friends and three or four duffel bags full of Chinese material and flew to Brazil and spent about 10 days. And we were able to get to over 130 different restaurants and did a Chinese outreach, both to students that were there as well. So if we can't get into China, we just go where they are, right? And so we've continued that ministry. So let me tell you a little bit about the work, even though we can't get into China. I've said this here before, but I'll say it again just so you understand. How many of you ever heard that it's illegal to have a Bible in China? You ever heard that? Sure, we've all heard that. And then I tell people, you do understand that China prints more Bibles than any other country in the world? Wow. I say that, and sometimes I get these strange looks like, "Well, we've heard stories about you and other people, and you smuggle stuff, and it's illegal." And so now you just told us that China prints more Bibles than any other country in the world, and that's true. In fact, the largest printing press in the world for Bibles is located in mainland China. They print English Bibles and Spanish Bibles and German Bibles and Italian Bibles and Portuguese Bibles, African dialect Bibles. They'll print Bibles for Bible Baptist Church and put the picture of your church on the cover and mail them to the front door of this church by the millions if you'll pay for them. Sure they will. I left out a language. Did you notice? I didn't include Chinese. In fact, there's only one company in all of China that can legally print a Chinese Bible. One company. They brag that they print nearly 1 million Bibles a year for Chinese. And you think, well, 1 million a year? That's a lot. Sure. Let's do the math. There's over 1.4 billion people in China. Of that million that they print a year that they actually tell us, half of those are shipped outside of mainland China. So now we're at 500,000 a year. No way that could reach 1.4 billion people. And the place that they can get the Bible, it's very regulated. It's only available through a government church in China. It's a government church. Wow, they have a church? Yes, they actually have a church in China. It's operated by the government, by the Communist Party. It's not a church like this. I mean, it might be a building, and there's very few of them. In fact, of all of Beijing, they have 7 legal government churches. 22 million people, and they have 7 legal churches. I've been to them before. If you were to go, they would sing hymns that you would recognize, the melody anyway, hymns that you would sing. And then a pastor would get up and bring a message. The place would be full. But the message almost every time is something like this. Be kind to one another. Be a good neighbor. Be a good citizen. That's the message. Well, there's nothing wrong with being kind to someone, right? That's biblical. Only problem is you can't get saved by being kind to someone, right? There's no salvation in the message, none. The message has to be approved by the government authority that's over them. Well, I don't think that would work here. I don't think. I mean, I think I know your pastor well enough that he wouldn't let the state of South Carolina or the state of North Carolina or some government official preview his message and tell him what's allowed to be preached in this pulpit or what not to preach. And I would hope you wouldn't want that either, right? Right. Well, most of the Chinese that are Christians, they don't want that. So are there Christians in the government churches? Possibly. I wouldn't say no. It's just so restrictive. So most of the people are in underground churches, as we would know, underground churches. They meet in secret. They meet in places wherever they can meet. Sometimes it might not even be a Sunday morning. That'd be too obvious. They have to meet in other places. And so all these years, for the last 18 years, our job primarily has been to get scriptures to those areas, both in Bibles, training material, gospel tracts. I told someone one time, we've even smuggled in Abeka books to China. Don't tell Pensacola. They may not like that. I don't know. But we have actually smuggled in materials for Chinese teaching their children in homeschools, which is illegal in China. And we thought we'd be doing that for a long time. We operated out of Hong Kong, had an office and a meeting place where we would ship things into Hong Kong. And then even before COVID hit, you know, now we refer to everything like that, right? Pre-COVID. Remember how it used to be before COVID? Even before COVID, China started to heavily regulate that border between Hong Kong and mainland China. It's not an open border, but they started making it more difficult, to the point where our people going in and out were being stopped daily, and then they started revoking visas if you had any type of religious material. So in essence, they shut it down. So we kind of come to a crossroads in our ministry. What do we do next? Do we quit? And so no, that wasn't the option. So we had to figure out what to do next. And so what we did next was, rather than smuggle scriptures into China, we started smuggling scriptures through China. Big difference. In fact, your pastor mentioned one of our Chinese pastors, Brother Daniel. And Brother Daniel, was his idea that we started printing scriptures there in his underground church, and we knew that would be dangerous, be difficult. We had to buy print equipment. I knew that would be expensive. I'm not in the print ministry. I just knew it would cost a lot of money. We was concerned about that. I remember Brother Daniel calling me one day, and we were talking about the cost, and I was really concerned about that. And he said, "Oh, Brother Robbie, don't worry about the cost." I said, "That's exactly what I'm worried about." He said, "Oh, everything's made in China." Right? He was right. We set up a print shop for less than $20,000. And that was operating in the basement of their church. In fact, I took my pastor there. My pastor went with me. My home church helped fund a lot of that cost. And so my pastor wanted to go and see it. He wanted to meet the people. And I'm glad he did. It scared me a little bit. You don't know my pastor, I don't think. But it scared me a little bit. I've taken hundreds of people to China. And everybody I took to China, I would bring back. And I'm thinking, "Lord, please don't let my pastor be the first casualty." Oh, my. We had a conversation that day with Brother Daniel in his home, and we're getting ready to start printing scriptures. I'll never forget that day. My pastor is questioning him, just talking about the ministry. And he asked him, he said, "Are we putting you in any danger?" His family was with him, and my pastor asked that question. I mean, that's a fair question. "Are we putting you in any danger by doing this?" I knew the answer. Brother Daniel said, well, here's what we want to do. Rather than print Chinese scriptures, now this was new to me. I helped put all of this together, and you know, I'm the point guy and raised the money, and you know, I'm sitting there with my pastor, and we're getting ready to print Chinese scriptures. And then our main guy in China says, "To be honest with you, we would rather, first of all, print Korean scriptures." I'm like, "Whoa, that's news to me." And then he says, "My parents and my grandparents are from North Korea." I had no idea. He's Chinese Korean. I just knew him as Chinese. And he said, "I want to reach my people with the gospel." He said, "If you can't help me, I understand. That's okay. I'm going to do it anyway." And there's what he said next. He said, "I'm going to do it anyway because I have to." I said, "Wow." I've heard a lot of missionary presentations in my life, right? I've seen a lot of slides and movies and pictures, and I've heard a lot of great messages on missions. But Brother Daniel nailed it that day. He summed it up when he said, "I have to." You know what? We have to. We have to. That's the command. That's the commission. We may not all have to do it in North Korea, right, or China, but it's still our job and our responsibility to get the gospel out. Why? Because we have to. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the restrictions. So we started printing Korean John and Romans. In fact, I have one right here in my hand. This is one they actually printed. It's kind of worn and tattered. I've carried it around so much. And then we had to get creative about how we're going to get these scriptures into North Korea. Because you understand, North Korea is probably the most closed country in all the world, right? I mean, we classify countries that way in missions. An open country, a closed country. A closed country means you can't get there or can't get in there as a missionary. You can't share the gospel there. It's a closed country. Can I let you in on something? You know, God doesn't classify countries like we do. To Him, there is no such thing as a closed country. We may have to get creative, but He wants His word known everywhere, right? So the next step was, how in the world are we going to get these into North Korea? I can't do it personally. I mean, I've taken scriptures into China for years, and I've dealt with authorities, and I know many of the security people by first name, and that's not a good thing. And I've been in Chinese timeout a few times. That's what I call it. And you know, the worst thing they would do to me is take my passport away and send me home. But North Korea is totally different. Totally different. I you can tell by now in that part of the country, I stick out. Right? I don't blend in very well. Look at me, right? They see me coming in the middle of the night. So I knew that was going to be a challenge. How do we get scriptures into North Korea? I'm going to say this not to be sensational. I don't want to do that. But I'm telling you this primarily as a benefit maybe to some of these young people that are here today. There's quite a few teenagers and young adults. And maybe, I don't know, I remember these days when I was a teenager. Sometimes when a missionary would come to the church, you know, I would think, oh man, another missionary, that's going to be boring. You know, that's what I thought, boring. Can I tell you missions is not boring? All right, I'm going to tell you a few things that are not boring. And I'm telling you that to maybe challenge someone today. Who knows, God might be calling the next one sitting on the pew. You might be involved in some kind of ministry like this. Because the first thing we come up with, we started a drone ministry. I think every church should have a drone ministry, don't you? So y'all already got some of your attention. They're already smiling. A drone ministry? Sure. We bought commercial-sized drones. And there's a river that separates China from North Korea. I've been up and down that river many times. So we take our John and Romans and gospel tracts and download an app on your cell phone, of course, and in the middle of the night, we're doing drone drops into North Korea across the river and bringing them in and dropping scriptures in villages along the coastline of the river. That can be exciting in a good way and a bad way, right? Then the next thing we did, we started a water bottle ministry. Every church should have that. This one's full, but we'd take water bottles like this one, and we'd take my John and Romans, and we'd roll them up, and we'd put them in water bottles. And that river that I just told you about, the Chinese take tours up and down the river, about an hour-long tour to go about 30 minutes up the river, 30 minutes down. To be honest with you, there's nothing to see, nothing. They put about 30 people on a little boat and give you a life jacket, and up the river they go. Well, our people will sit on the back of the boat and they'll take backpacks and fill them up with empty water bottles full of our scriptures. And we sit on the back of the boat. And when it gets to the point where it makes the turn, the Chinese guide is pointing to something and I don't even know what it is. I don't remember it. All the Chinese are oohing and ahhing and looking and whatever he's pointing at as the boat's making the turn. And while they're doing that, our people are emptying out their backpacks in the back of the boat, right? And in the wake, it washes all of the water bottles and the scriptures up on the North Korean side, right? You got to be creative. Then we started a helium balloon ministry. Every church should have that. We bought a cargo truck in South Korea. We put helium tanks in the back, bought heavy-duty balloons, Ziploc bags, and we take our John and Romans and gospel tracts and we put them in Ziploc bags and we find a location on the DMZ zone in the middle of the night because we have to hide even from the South Koreans. They don't want you to do anything that would antagonize North Korea, right? So we find a place and in the middle of the night, we download an app on our phone. It tells us which way the wind currents is blowing when it's blowing northerly. And it's always 3:30 in the morning for some reason. And so we take our cargo truck and download the app and load up balloons, and we do a balloon launch in the middle of the night and sending scriptures over into North Korea. You got to be creative, right? Now, real quick, some people would say, those are great stories, Brother Rob. Man, that's exciting. That's really cool. And man, how effective is it? Fair question. How effective is that? Someone would be thinking about it and goes, you know, that sounds kind of random. Would it have any effect? Well, I have two answers for you. Number one, the Bible says God's word will not return void. Right? I think that's a pretty good promise, right? Sure. And then second, right before COVID, they told us they were going to smuggle a North Korean pastor into China to meet with us. I said, no. That's too dangerous. No, there's no need for him to come in for me. No, he insists. He wants to come and give a report. They smuggled him in. I don't know how in the world they got him from North Korea to China. You got to be in a bad place to get smuggled out of to get into China, right? It was in the middle of the night, of course. Looked like he weighed about 125, 130 pounds, frail, filthy, dirty, muddy. I don't know what in the world he went through, what they had to go through to get him into China. That's how we met. We fed him, of course. Before he left, we loaded him down as much food as we could give him, just whatever he could carry back because he's going back to North Korea. Can I quickly give you his story? I think it's kind of important. How effective is it? His story is this. He said, my friend was working in the field. He saw something on the ground, a plastic bag, and said he picked it up, and he said he didn't even open it because he saw it was something religious. That was his testimony. And it scared him. Of course it would. You could be put to death for having something like this in North Korea, or at least a work camp. He said, no one was around. He said, I took it and I hid it. His friend did, hid it in his clothing. He kept it for 2 or 3 days and never looked at it. He said, he finally got enough courage that he shared it with me. And that took a lot of courage to do that, to share it with someone. Look what I found. Now, this is his testimony. He said, I saw it and realized it was something religious and it scared me. He said, I kept it for days and finally got enough courage in the middle of the night when I was alone to open it up to see what it was. And then he said, I always knew there was a God, but I just didn't know who he was. And I started reading and I learned that Jesus was God. You know what he's reading? He's reading John 1, John 2, just what you have in your Bible. It's what he's reading. He said, I realized that Jesus was God. He said, then I kept reading and I realized that I was a sinner. You know what? The Spirit of God is speaking to him through God's Word. That's how it works, right? He said, I realized I was a sinner and the only way I would ever see God is if I asked God to forgive me of my sin. And he said, I did that night. And God saved him through his Word. He didn't have a pastor. He didn't have a missionary. He didn't have a gospel track. He didn't have a radio program. Nothing. He just had a copy of the book of John and Romans, and he's reading, and the Spirit of God is moving, and he's listening. And God did a miraculous work in his life and saved him. And then he said, then God called me to preach. How'd that happen? God's working in his life, right? He said, now I pastor some 6 or 8 underground churches in North Korea. I promise you, it's not a church like this, not a building like this, just a small group here and here. He said, we even found a place in the middle of the night in the woods where we can take believers and baptize them. Where'd he get that from? Word of God? All right. He said, now we tell our people to go out on the riverbank early in the morning or go out in the field. Because sometimes manna falls from heaven. How about that? What? The Word of God. That's how effective it is. He could have stayed in China, probably had a better life. After a couple of hours before sun came up, they smuggled him back into North Korea. I may never see him again. I don't know. Why does he do that? Why does he risk his life to do that? You know what? The same reason Brother Daniel does, because we have to. We have to, right? So that's what we're involved in right now through those Chinese and North Koreans. They're actively smuggling these scriptures. And then finally, through one of our missionaries and our partners in South Korea, we have the entire Korean Bible, hundreds of hours of preaching and teaching, discipleship material downloaded. We can put it on an SD card. And these are being smuggled also into North Korea. I'm thankful for print. Most of North Korea probably does not have access to technology, computers, phones. But for those who do, we are making it available. And we have Chinese that are smuggling SD cards in, and we're trying to get 50,000 of these into North Korea this year. They cost us about $5 a piece, almost, by the time we can get them loaded and get them into North Korea. And in fact, I got a report this past month, over 3,000 of these went into North Korea. Over 3,000. And so just another way that we can get the gospel into that closed country, right? As we think of closed. So now you got an update on what we do, and you know how to pray for us. And Lord willing, I'll be in South Korea in August, and we're taking the team in. The church that your pastor mentioned just a few moments ago, Hope Baptist Church. Brother Daniel is pastor of that church now. Him and his family are there, and they're reaching both Chinese and North Korean refugees that are in South Korea. And so we plan to help them in the month of August. We've got 250,000 personal invitations to their church. We have 500,000 John and Romans that are there already waiting for us. And so we'll be going out into those communities and sharing the gospel and inviting them to Hope Baptist Church. So I just ask you to please pray that the gospel will go forth and keep those families safe that are there. We are so thankful that Daniel and his family are in South Korea safe. Say he was under arrest, being abused by the police. Total miracle that God got him and his family out of that situation and into South Korea. Month of August is a pivotal month for us, and so you pray that God will help us, give us strength as we do that. You're in Genesis chapter 28. I had you to turn there. For just a few moments, I want to look at a verse with you. Every time we start a major project in China, North Korea, any major project, I'm seeking the Lord and looking for a verse or something that can help me and help us. And in my daily Bible reading, I came across this verse a number of months, a good while back. And so I just marked it and highlighted it, and it's been a big help to us, maybe to be a help to you today. You know, if not reading the whole chapter, of course, we've got for sake of time. In chapter 28 of Genesis, we find that this is where Jacob meets God for the first time. He personally meets God. In our language, what we would say, if you'll understand what I mean by this, if anyone grew up in a Christian home, Jacob did. In our language. I mean, you know who his grandfather is, right? Grandfather Abraham. That's his grandfather. Isaac's his dad. I mean, he knew all about the sacrifices. He knew all the rules and regulations. He knew about God, but in this chapter, he meets God for the first time personally for himself. That's real important. It's important for everyone in this building, the application. Doesn't matter how great your parents or grandparents are, if they're Christians and they love the Lord, that's great, but that doesn't help you any, right? Oh, it may give you some advantages, but it doesn't help you meet God. You have to meet God personally for yourself. And that's what happens with Jacob. You know the story, but I'm interested in verse 15. Because God speaks to Jacob, and he tells him certain things here. And I understand we're in the Old Testament. You say, well, all these things are for Jews, and Jacob was a Jew, and this has to do with the promise. And I get all of that, but every single thing that God promised Jacob, I find the same promises in the New Testament for me and for you. Same promises. So what did he promise Jacob? Look, verse 15. And behold, number one, I am with thee. Folks, I take great comfort in that. I needed that in our travels and our work, and I needed to hear that for our people in China and on the border of North Korea and doing some dangerous things that could cost their life. And I see the promise that God gave Jacob. Number one, I am with thee. And folks, we need the Lord with us if we're going to do anything, if we're going to accomplish anything, we need his help. Well, we can use our own intellect and our own abilities and our own talents. God gives those to us, right, to accomplish things, but those will fail. And if we don't have God with us to help us, we won't accomplish anything, right? And here's the promise, I am with thee. Number two, and will keep thee. I got a God that can keep me today. I'm not holding on to him. He's got me in the palm of his hand. Knows everything that I'm going through. Nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing. I'm with thee, and I'll keep thee. And then the third thing I see, look on down the next couple of phrases, and will bring thee again into this land. He'll take you where you need to be, right? Regardless of where you're at, he'll take you where you need to be. I'll bring thee. And then the next phrase I see, the fourth promise, I will not leave thee. Isn't that comforting to know that the God of this universe is with you? He's going to help you. He'll take you where you need to be, but he won't just leave you hanging. He won't leave you out there by yourself. You trust him. You go where he wants you to go, and you're there doing his work. Here's his promise. I'll be with thee. I won't leave you. I needed to hear that. And then the last phrase, the last thing he tells Jacob, he says, I have spoken to thee. The God of this universe spoke personally to Jacob. You say, can God personally speak to me? Sure he can, through his word. We have his word today. Jacob didn't have this. We do. We have these promises. They're given to each one of you in this building today. You can take those five things and take them home with you today. They're for you. And God spoke those things, not only to Jacob, but he pinned them down in the Word of God. Why? So we could read them today. We can claim those promises today. God spoke to him. God speaks to us. If we'll listen, we'll listen today. He has a word for us. So I take those promises for me. Jacob went on to say in verse 16, after God spoke to him, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Yeah, he recognized who God was, heard his voice, obeyed his voice, and then he said, God's in this place. You know, my prayer today is that God truly would be in this place, and that we would listen to his word, that we would obey his word. All right? Every one of us. Again, why do we have to share the gospel? Why do we bring missionaries in? Why does your pastor preach to you and give you opportunities to help with missions around the world? Why does he do all of that? Because we have to. We have to. Those words keep ringing in my ear from Brother Daniel. We have to. If you have any questions about our ministry, you can see me after the service, and we'll try to answer anything, pick up one of our prayer cards, and then we'll be ready for the service to follow in just a few moments. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you would bless it and bless the ministry around the world today, wherever it may be preached. Blessing the service to follow. In Christ's name, amen.